Hello again. The largest import taxes in more than a century are now in place after Donald Trump's new tariffs regime took effect early this morning. These range from a 104% levy on Chinese goods to 20% on imports from the EU to 10% on British imports. In response, China has just announced that from tomorrow it will impose an 84% tariff on American goods. At a Republican Party dinner, the US president said countries were now dying to make a deal. "I tell you, these countries are calling us up, kissing my ass," he said. There are, however, signs of disagreement among his inner circle, with Elon Musk labelling trade advisor Peter Navarro a moron. The financial markets remain highly volatile this lunchtime, with US stock market futures falling after that announcement from China. For the very latest developments, we can talk to Catherine Hannan, who's divisional director with RBC Brewin Dolphin. Catherine, once again, it's been quite a morning. What's been happening over the past few hours?
It really has. So as you said, we're getting the kind of real life effect, I guess, of these tariffs taking place being reflected in both the equity markets and the bond markets. Now, the equity markets have gone some way to perhaps price in some of this. You know, the US markets are just a couple of percentage points away from a bear market. They likely enter that this afternoon. But what I think is probably more sanguine and probably more important for investors to focus on is the implications this has for the bond market. We saw the US 10-year Treasury yield move to about 4.5%. In the past 24 hours. And this is a very significant scale, both in terms of timing and the size of the move. We can't forget that China is one of the biggest holders on the planet of US treasuries. And one would have to think that perhaps instead of, you know, the back and forth in terms of the very significant numbers that we've seen at tariff levels, the Chinese are pulling a different lever and perhaps selling some of these US treasuries. And you know, we feel that perhaps focusing governments' minds becomes much more faster and effective when their bond market, and the US bond market is a safe haven position for investors, and for that to be called into question as its yields rise so dramatically, as I said, I think will really focus the minds of government.
Yeah, will you tell us a little more about the significance of this? Because we all remember during the depths of the crash here and when the IMF came in, how everybody was obsessed by the Irish bond market. What's happening in America today?
Yeah, so yields, bonds, you know, the price and the yield in a bond move inversely. So your price goes down and the yield goes up. And if the yield goes up, that means the cost of borrowing for that government has gone up. But it also indicates a possible recession for that particular country. And it's likely that the move that we've seen is pricing in both, insofar as that these tariffs, whilst President Trump has one view, is likely to cause an increase in inflation, likely to cause a cost of goods and services. And this will hit Main Street rather than Wall Street in America a lot more. The discretionary spend of the average US consumer is going to be much more limited. They're not going to spend as much. And this causes recessionary type environment. And that's negative for any economy. So the bond market is a, you know, a function of many different things, but it is an indicator of the health of a economy and the credibility of government.
Going back to the stock markets for a moment, judging by Donald Trump's comments last night, an announcement on pharmaceutical tariffs is on the way pretty soon, and that's been having an impact on pharma stocks today.
You're right. So this morning, you know, if you look at a basket of European and Indian pharma stocks, they're down around 4.5%. And I'm sure many listeners will recognise the name GlaxoSmithKline, Novartis. They're all down this morning. And as you said, we don't know when this is going to happen. But pharmaceutical sites, if we take Ireland for an example, because we know how important a sector this is to our country, are very difficult to develop. It takes 1 to 5 years to develop a pharmaceutical site. And if you're an executive sitting in Ireland this morning with a pharmaceutical site producing high-end drugs and exporting them globally, you know, President Trump will not be in situ in 4 to 5 years' time. So trying to make decisions in real time in what is a very fluid situation, but to redeploy capital to a completely different jurisdiction is not an easy undertaking. But executives like investors and normal people, we need to have more information to make an informed decision, and we're not there yet.
Catherine, thank you very much for that. That was Catherine Hannan there of RBC Brewin Dolphin. Well, we can get more now on China's latest retaliatory move. Earlier, it accused the US of bullying practices and urged the Trump administration to resolve the dispute through dialogue. Joining us from Washington is Dimitri Sevastopoulou, who's a Financial Times correspondent focusing on US-China relations. Dimitri, thanks for talking to us. Had a further move been expected from China?
Yes, it had. I mean, when Donald Trump upped the ante and put another 50% tariff on China earlier this week, everyone expected that China would retaliate probably with the same level. So, you know, and if Donald Trump responds to the latest Chinese tariff by upping the US tariffs again, I think we can expect China to follow suit. So we're right now in a huge game of economic chicken between the US and China.
What's likely to be the immediate impact of this announcement?
Well, I think the immediate impact is over the next month as American consumers go to Walmart or wherever they buy their goods, they're going to find that the price of toasters, or when they go to Apple, they're going to find that the price of iPhones, everything is going to increase, and some things are going to increase dramatically. And then in China, you're going to have a similar situation where the consumers are buying slightly different things, but purchasers of U.S. agricultural produce and other things are going to pay much higher prices. So, I mean, there's going to be a huge inflationary effect for both countries over time.
These levies have now reached a crazy level, but given the size of the Chinese economy, is it better placed than most countries to stand up to the U.S.?
It depends on the appetite for pain, and there's an expression in Chinese which translates to eating pain. And I think it's how much tolerance they will have. It's going to hurt the Chinese economy, and the Chinese economy has been struggling over the past couple of years. So it's not as if they're in a very strong position and can weather really strong storms. But equally, it's going to affect the U.S. economy. That's why I say it's a game of chicken. It's right now, both sides are dug in. You know, unlike countries like Japan, South Korea, Vietnam, the EU and others who have come to Trump and said, OK, we're willing to talk. China has not. And so there really are no high level negotiations between Washington and Beijing. So at the moment, we're in a period of limbo where the tariffs are escalating. And at the moment, there's no light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. And as we've just been hearing, I mean, there could be another development afoot with investors selling off their long term U.S. government bonds.
There could be. I mean, I don't think we have actual evidence yet that China is selling U.S. government bonds to treasuries. It also partly shoots themselves in the foot if they do that because they have such big holdings. They reduce the value of their assets. So I think the jury is out on that. But, you know, clearly there are massive amounts of investment flows, people trying to hedge for the future, people gambling in the stock market and the bond market to try and make money. And it's very difficult right now with a huge number of flows across the world to really parse exactly what people are doing and for what reasons. But I think, you know, volatility and chaos are the name of the game right now.
Dimitri, thank you very much for talking to us. Dimitri Sevastopoulou there of the Financial Times joining us on the line from Washington.